Welcome to Hustle and Flows. I am your host, Marcus the Game Changer. I'm here with my man, Sekou. This is part of the RSG family. This segment of the RSG world, we break down hip-hop, music, sports, and all the other things culturally that are going on in the world. I got my man, Sekou, in the house. September, busy time for both of us. Good to get each other nailed down and get a pod in. Things kind of started off slow to start this year, 2019. But about the last two or three months, things have picked up a little bit. So we felt like we needed to get on here and give you some give you something to rock with over the as you head into the winter and the fall and the colder part of the year.
Fourth quarter's coming.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So how you been doing, bro?
I've been good. Summer was unexpectedly busy. The spring, sports-wise, almost killed me. It almost killed me. But I'm here. I'm ready. Giants about to start things out. Odell-less Giants. My Knicks, who have, you know, they are what they're going to be. And we're just going to clean slate. And I'm just Daniel Jones and... And that's it. So I'm on the positive. I was in a dark place come like June, but I'm good now.
You know what, man? I'm a bad friend. I should have checked up on you, man. My fault.
I was scrolling through messages, and I was like, yeah. These my RSG family just were like, I think Phil hit me up like, yo, what are the Giants doing? And I was like, I don't know, but thanks.
Yeah, sometimes it's like one of those situations where you don't really want to call attention to it, so you just kind of like, I'm just gonna act like I don't see it, and hopefully that friend that's really invested is just gonna like be happy that I didn't say anything at all.
I do, because there were a lot of people who called me up talking smack, so I silence is actually the preferred. Just let me mourn alone. But like I said, new day.
Yeah, because otherwise you gotta have that conversation and rehash and open the wound up again, and so yeah.
I don't ever think I've been gut punched by Bleacher Report successively in a month. I mean, it was bad. It was bad.
It
I
was rough.
A bad
yeah,
place.
It was rough.
Yeah, but we're, like I said, we turn new leaf September. I'm here, bro. So and we got a lot of music, thankfully. I guess it also happened while there was like no music coming out. So all I had to do was just be on Twitter. And relive, oh, can we get AD? Are we not going to? Oh, no. Are we getting Zion? No, that's not. And I had nothing to distract me. So now I'm great.
And then you watch the dude sign with the team across the way.
Well, all right. See, here I am thinking we were just going to let that go. But, yeah, it's all right. I'll even say this. I don't think I've ever – that was the worst because my son's favorite player in the world is Kevin Durant. And he went to UT, so I've been like, UT, we're just getting the Durant UT stuff. Because he started doing the I'm rooting for Golden State thing, and I was like, that can't happen. I have to put you out of the house.
Right.
So this summer, I was like, all right, we get KD on the Knicks, and the house is whole again, right? Like, we're good. He can root for his favorite player without having to, like, sneak it under his breath. And so for him to go to the Nets, really, I was just like, we just have to pretend. Him being injured is unfortunate for him, but it's probably going to save my household because I'm not ready to have my son be a Nets fan. I don't think I'll ever be ready, but I'm definitely not ready now. So, yeah.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, dark times. Dark times. Let's talk about
dark
some
time.
Music. How are you doing?
Let's do that. So yeah, I'm all right, man. The Bucks did okay. I'm not really following football at this point in my life, but the Bucks are good, and the NBA is so fun to watch. And I mean, just all the offseason stuff was just bananas and bonkers. So that was super enjoyable, and that tied me over. And then Freddie Gibbs dropped, and then I was good. I was good for a long time. So that's what we're gonna get into. We're going into the fourth quarter of the year. And we kind of want to set up just kind of what's been good. So we're each going to go through our top three albums of the first three quarters of the year thus far. And again, basically quarter one and quarter two were kind of duds.
Yep.
Not anything of note for me, for sure, until Gibbs dropped in July. So that kind of things didn't get going until July. You know, it was kind of one of those type of situations. So
no love for El Capo, Jim Jones. No love for Kevin Gates. Only the generals gone understand. Nope.
Yeah, nah, man. Nah, I don't understand.
Move the needle.
I guess I'm not a general.
Okay, I just wanted to check. I mean, I'm the same way.
Did not move
like,
the needle at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, number three.
Yeah, I did not move the needle at all. So, yeah, you're number three. What you got?
So I've gone back and forth on this, but I think my number three is going to be Crit. The Big Crit album, Crit is Here. I think that was, for me, number three. I'll real quickly kind of run it down. I mean, so he's a guy I've always been nervous when I hear the new album out because I never know if it's going to be what I expect. Cause I hold him in high regard. So is he going to eclipse expectation or is he going to just be doing his artist thing and kind of discovering a new sound and a new bass line and just leaving us all behind, leaving the listener behind. This one, I felt like he was there with me the whole time. The songs I thought were well thought out. It felt like a coherent album, maybe a bit too long. But I think he more than made up for it just being entertaining. I never, you know, something I listen to and sometimes I'll forget I'm listening to it. This one would always bring me back with certain tracks. So I put Crit as number three.
Okay. All right. And that one is also on my list. I have Crit is Here at number two for me. And I will just, since we're talking about it, I'll just go ahead and give my take on it. I share a very similar sentiment. As far as Crit came out guns blazing with me, man. I was into, you know, Crit was Here, you know, Return to Forever. I was in.
Yep.
Like he got me hooked with those two, and then it started to get like, he dropped a couple. I'm like, I'm just gonna listen to Return to Forever again.
yeah, I'm listening to old
I'm just
stuff.
Listening to that one again. I like that Crit. And then, you know, he got to Live from the Underground was all right. Catalactica was all right. All of My Life was E. Forever is a Mighty Long Time was better, and I appreciated that one. And then the one after that, the little EP that he dropped was okay.
Yeah.
And then when Crit is Here came out, I just looked at it for like 3 days and like, do I want to listen to this? Because I was at that tipping point where I was like, if this is shaky, I'm kind of out on Crit.
I might be
like,
out.
And do I want to be at that point yet? You know, because we were talking about Common. We were talking about Common off air and how, like, you know, it got to a point where about four albums ago, I was like, yeah, I don't want to ever hear another song from you again.
Yeah, which,
and that's
which is
where
a sad thing. Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, we get there with certain artists, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, I actually don't want to hear you rap anymore, man. And that's okay. But I was at that tipping point with Crit, and man, he saved himself in a big way with this one. I mean, just top to bottom, the cohesiveness of it, he seemed to have found his groove again as far as the levity and just the down-to-earth style that he has. While still being, you know, street, but still being thoughtful, thought-provoking, switching up his flows, different types of soundscapes he was on. I mean, I just dug it. I dug it all the way through. I do think it does get a little long, but there are lots of joints on here. And my favorite ones are the ones where he is more introspective. Those are the ones that hit me the hardest on this one, just because it was a very self-assured introspection. You know, it wasn't like he was shaky about who he was. He kind of knew who he was, and he kind of understands his priorities. And that comes through and really shines through a lot on this album. And so I really dig it. I like it a lot. So it came in at number two for me. What was your number two? Well, can I do my number three?
Yeah, let's hear your number three.
So my number three is a recent release, and it's Rhapsody's Eve. And really ambitious on her part, and I applaud her for that. Lyrically, she's pretty much always on point as far as her lyrics and her flows. I've really enjoyed this one, just the thematic pieces of it and the way she's incorporated, you know, themes that are related to strong women that she admires, right? And I appreciate that, and I can dig that. And I thought she did it in clever ways in which she, you know, incorporated, like, the title of the song and connected the title of the song or the woman that she titled the song after to the actual song. It was very clever, and it took some thinking and piecing together. So I appreciated that. Where it doesn't get, like, that, like, super, super gold star for me is that, like, she still has to grow as a songwriter and just making, like, bangers. And the album is very J. Cole-ish in that it is very good. I can listen to it all the way through. I can enjoy it. But it's like a big meal. You know what I'm saying? It's like heavy. And afterwards, I'm kind of like, oh, I'm full. That was good.
Yeah.
But I'm full.
Yep.
And I don't want no more. And so that was my take on that album. But I dig it. I enjoy it. I like the concept of it. And it's fairly well executed. I think she could have taken it to another level. Like I saw Jemele Hill said, it was like the hip hop Lemonade. I wouldn't go that far because when you play Lemonade, Lemonade has hits. It's very thought-provoking and the content is very good, but it's got hits. Like, it's got songs that are like, this could be the single on like three other people's albums. You know what I mean? Like, this could be the lead single, right? This could be your best song, and this is like my fifth best song. That's
correct.
That's Lemonade, right? And so this is not that where it doesn't have like hits. So that's where I kind of take a step back from some of the praise and adulation that the album has been getting. So yeah, that one comes in at number three for me.
So I'm glad you did this because this would have been my honorable mention because this was behind. I was going back and forth between Crit and Eve for my number three spot. So I love Rhapsody, pretty much all her stuff. And so this one, there was a lot of buildup. And so I was like, all right, man, this is going to be her blueprint. Like, this is, you know, the way it was kind of being built up. And then even the single, which might be my favorite Rhapsody song in a long time, the Bitty Hodge with GZA and D'Angelo singing the Liquid Swords verse. I think that song is just amazing. So I was like, I had to build up that single drops. I was like, yo, this really might be it. And so I went in with really high expectations and it was good. I was not, like you said, it didn't have the three or four songs that I said. These are songs that 5-6 years from now I will have to be listening to. Right. Like I'll have to kind of do it. Bitty Hodge might be one because I just like it that much, but there were really good ones. You have to listen really closely. And she's such a lyricist. She's got the, you know, the double entendres and the wordplay, and it's good, but it's almost as if it's missing like one or two just play with the beat, make it light, make it happy, you know, make it extra catchy. Just show me you can do it. And I think she can, but maybe she just doesn't want to, or because she was trying to weave together something that was more than just an album, like the concept album. She felt like, no, each one of these things has to be really heavy and meaningful. And maybe that weighed the album down a bit. But it's going to win a Grammy. Like, without a doubt, it's going to win a Grammy. Because I don't think anyone's ever done an album like this. Like, it's groundbreaking, right? For a female artist to come out and say, I'm going to write an album for women and men, but going to be unapologetically feminine and strong and do it with, you know, with excellence. And so that, in that way, I think this is going to be something that people kind of put on, not on a pedestal, but use as an exemplar, even if it might in the end of the day not end up being her best album. It's going to be the one I think that people will at least refer to the most because it was, you know, a vision that was executed. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I wanted to say that bit. It sounds like we're down on it, but really, I really liked it, and I wanted to like it more, and maybe if I listen to it more, it'll happen. But normally these things hit you. If something's a classic, you listen to it the first time, and you're like, I want to hear that again immediately. This one I listened to and was like, that was good. I think I'm going to go listen to something else now. Right? Just, and maybe it's the heaviness of it, but that's kind of how I felt afterwards.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I definitely am. That is exactly kind of my sentiment with that one. You want to jump to your number two?
All right, number two, and this may surprise you, but it's Gibbs. So I have him at number two for Bandana. I think I have no doubt this is going to be on your list, maybe a little higher. But let's see. This is probably the first Gibbs album I really listened to from beginning to end. And it was off a recommendation. I've heard songs of his and been like, this is good. But then I've heard other songs where I was like, I'm unimpressed. But Madlib is, he's just a genius. And he's kind of a mad genius, right? He's out there. And Gibbs seems to be one of the few rappers that I think can really take Madlib's production and make it into a tangible kind of series of songs that you understand what they're about. Even when he cuts to an interlude in the middle of the track, Gibbs is like, okay, I got something for this, and then I'll come back and do a verse after. And so I really, really like this album. I mean, I listened to this thing nonstop for a while, and then I put it down and listened to some other stuff. But even coming back to it in the last week or so in prepping for this, there were a couple songs where I was like, man, he's versatile, right? His flow, and some of it I felt like I was listening to old Boot Camp Click. Sometimes I feel like I'm listening to Big Boy. Sometimes I feel like I'm listening to Bone Thugs. And I was like, this is one guy doing all these different songs, all these different flows. It's impressive. So I really was like, all right, I have to start to check for this guy's stuff from now on.
Yeah, and Gibbs is at my – Bandana is at my one. Gibbs and Madlib, Mad Gibbs, however you want to put it. That is my – they are at my number one spot for me. So I'll just go ahead and jump there. Yeah, this one – and again, I as soon as I listened to it twice and I was like, I got to tell something cool about this. I jumped in this little the little group chat that we got going on and hit, like, hey – Gibbs just dropped the best album of 2019.
Yeah, actually, it was you. It was your recommendation that got me to listen to it. I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been into Freddie Gibbs. You know, he's from Gary, so that's like, you know, I'm a Chicago kid at heart. So, you know, that's right in my wheelhouse. And you know, he kind of has a good following around these parts. And so I've been in on him since the early days, going back. You know, way back to like, you know, going to Highway to Hell, you know, one of his first joints back in the day. And you could just tell he had potential. He just needed to find that right balance. And he's had moments where he's really had some really shining moments and you can hear it. But then those moments have been covered in dirt a lot of times with just clutter. I wouldn't say dirt, but just clutter and other filler that kind of get in the way of really him finding himself. And on this one, I felt like he really kind of found his groove. And it is just, I mean, sonically, Madlib provided just like the perfect backdrop for him to really kind of do his thing. Madlib is super versatile, and versatile in a different way where he can do a lot of things. And sometimes those things don't always fit with what, you know, what the artist maybe wants to do in that moment. But again, Gibbs is so, you know, so flexible and versatile. He can rock with it. But there is a common element of just like a gangster undercurrent with both of them, just like a hard, gritty undercurrent with both of them. And I think that's the common ground that they stand on, even though they're kind of divergent stylistically, is that just there's a grittiness and a rawness and a ruggedness to what both of them do. And I think that is really what comes out and what pulls this whole thing together is that each track just has a ruggedness that just fits Gibbs so well. And, you know, again, my favorite line of the whole album is on Massage Seats. Whipping Earl Simmons on my dog's eat. Golden State Syrah to my garage deep. Man, when he said that, I pressed pause. I was like, I love that line. It's not the deepest line in the world. It's just dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I will slip that into conversation with my wife. Like, she'll ask me a question. I'd be like, you know, Whipping Earl Simmons on my dog's eat. Golden State Syrah to my garage deep. Just slipping into conversation. It just works so well.
You just shake your head. You do that too. All right. My wife's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, she's going on. She's just like, stop doing that. I'm trying to actually talk to you. I'm trying to have an adult conversation with you. You're being 17. But yeah,
so what's your favorite track?
Massage Seats, that's like the one I like, the sparseness of it, the beat, and just how Gibbs rocks it. Giannis, obviously, you know, I enjoyed that. When I saw his nickname Giannis, when the name of the track was Giannis, I was like, okay, this better be good.
Yes.
And it had Anderson .Paak on it. And so, like, that's already, you already got my attention there. I enjoyed that one. And then Crime Pays. I like that one a lot. So, those are the ones that really stood out to me. But Massage Seats is my go-to off of this album. That song, that's the kind of song that gets me in that zone where I need to be, when I need to be productive, when I need to get into that mode of like, all right, you need to knock out a couple of pages in a playbook, or, you know, you got a presentation you got to put together the next, you know, for the staff or something the next day. That's kind of what I go to, just to, you know, get me in that space to get into it. So what was your number one?
So my number one is also recent. Is May the Lord Watch, Little Brother. So this was Little Brother coming back. This kind of came out of nowhere for me, at least. I thought we'll never see them, hear them, you know, together again. So Ninth isn't on this, but Crisis is on it. So we still got the Soul Council production. And I just think it's truly amazing that you can have two guys that pretty much, I mean, I don't think they've been on anything in 6 years, 7 years, maybe even longer. And they came back together without skipping a beat. I mean, it really might have been, they might be the closest. I mean, they call themselves Little Brother, being the Little Brother to A Tribe Called Quest. They might be the closest thing we have where you have two guys that can go off, do their own thing for 5, 6, 7 years, then come back and immediately they're a group again, right? And so Fonte is still, to me, one of the best rappers, you know, out there. Just, he's got the wordplay, but he's also clever, and he's got flows and all that. And Big Pooh is, just knows how to compliment him well. Haven't heard them both individually, to hear them go back and forth so effortlessly. The skits are legitimately hysterical. Like, I laughed out loud, like, listening to them. People are like, what are you laughing? I'm like, yo, I can't even go into it.
Percy Miracles just died.
I was like, what he did, the producer one with Questlove. These dudes are stupid. An album that makes me laugh and nods my head and the beats are great. It might be the nostalgia creeping in, but I just remember first listening to Little Brother and seeing them when they were touring and they were kind of just trying to make it and being like, these guys are going to make it. And now to see it kind of come full circle, I had to force myself to stop listening to this to listen to Rhapsody, because I was like, I have to listen to Rhapsody. But this dropped like a week before. But RIP Percy Miracle, Blackness. All that stuff. So The Little Brother, May the Lord Watch. That's my favorite for thus far for 2019.
And you know what, man? I'm with you. I love this album. The one thing, I was gonna put it in my honorable mention, but I figured you might have it in yours, and so I wanted to try it. I knew we were probably gonna both be Gibbs and Crit. And so then I was like, okay, where might he not go? So we could get a little bit of arrange. So I didn't include it in my honorable mention, but it's definitely one that I keep going back to, and I would have put it in my honorable mention for sure. It's because it's right there in my top five. There's five albums that I'm playing a lot right now, and it's one of them. But the skits, like I remember when I first opened it up, and I'm like, I could just kind of flip through and saw how many like tracks it was, and it looks like a lot when you look at it. And so then I looked at the runtime, and I'm like, 37 minutes. Wait a minute, this is like 15 tracks. It's a bunch of 2 minute songs. And so then I started, I just played it. I just put it on and started playing. I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. But yeah, the skits are hilarious. Roy Lee, hilarious. But the thing I appreciate is the growth and the evolution. And, you know, again, Fonte just had to come back and remind us how dope he is. I mean, for me, he had the line of, like, just the times right now for me. And that was, you know, where he said, well-oiled machines don't grind. And that was just like, you know what? That brother's right. Everybody's out here talking about grinding. If you're taking care of business and you taking care of yourself, you ain't grinding.
Yep.
Because well-oiled machines don't grind. And that just, man, that just was like, bam, that's it right there. That's what you want to shoot for in life. You don't want to be out here grinding. You want to be just kind of doing your thing. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that both of those guys really coming back and doing their thing. And they were at that place, too, for me, where I was like, if I don't ever hear another Little Brother song, I'm okay with it. Because it's not going to be what it was. You know what I mean? Like, Left Back, I don't even think I ever listened to. I just kind of didn't even – I was like, this has gotten way too far away from what I enjoyed about them. I just kind of left it alone there. The Minstrel Show was good for me. The Listening is something that I still listen to now.
Oh,
like, I still listen to The Listening now.
Easy.
And actually, and I had to go back and listen to it after the video.
Yeah, because I was like, I do want to hear – I forgot how much I laughed listening to, like, listening when they started the UBN – and $5 fashion show. Like, I was like, these are like throwback skits. I was like, these guys should be writing on some TV show or something like that. So Back was the last one, and that was 07, right? So it's 12 years pretty much.
Yeah,
that's crazy. They don't even look the same. I'm looking at two covers now, and I'm like, you'd be like, oh, is this their uncle made a new album? From the Get Back cover?
But not, it is like Uncle Rap, though. That's not a cat. Yeah. That's not a genre yet, but it's like Uncle Rap. You know what I mean? Like,
are we coining this?
It straight up is.
Is this a Marcus coining? Uncle Rap. Okay.
Let's do it. But it is like top shelf Uncle Rap, though. This is like, you know, back room. We only give this to our top customers, Uncle Rap. It is mature at the same time that it is like, you know, self-deprecating, but also self-reflective, also like very lyrical, enjoyable, easy to listen to, easy to digest. Like, this was like, I mean, if Rhapsody's album was like a big meal, this was like Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Where it was
I haven't
like
even had
it
yet,
and
I still
was,
understand it. Yes.
It was quick. It's delicious. It's quick. It's gone. And you're like, man, I might need to get another one of those.
Wait a minute. Have you had this chicken sandwich?
I've had two.
You've had two. Okay.
I've had two.
And?
Yeah.
What's,
so I got one
the...
with my wife, and then I have a daughter who's 22, and she was like, well, y'all can't get one without me. So my wife was like, I don't need another one. I was like, well, if you're going to get another one, might as well get two. So give me one.
Wait, you did like back
so
to back? Like you went,
it was like
came
within
home,
a couple of days.
She was like, oh, within a couple of days. Is it an ordeal?
It was,
is there like lines?
It was a real deal, man. It really was. Like I used to work at a middle school on the south side of Madison, and there was a Popeyes like up the street from the middle school because it's on the black side. It was in the black neighborhood. So there's Popeyes over there. I used to frequent Popeyes quite often throughout the school year just on lunch. I work at a different school, at a high school now, and it's not near a Popeyes. And so, I don't
moving
go
on up.
Often.
Okay.
I guess you could call it that, but it's not really. but I was at the Popeyes, and this Popeyes is a Popeyes that I frequented a lot. And I've seen different – when I went in to get this chicken sandwich, I saw folks that ain't never been in a Popeyes in a Popeyes.
Can tell.
So much
do not
so.
Understand Popeye
so
etiquette.
So. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
So I went inside the Popeyes, right? And so I'm anticipating, like, I look in and I'm seeing, like, just bodies. So I'm going in, and I kind of go in, and everybody's kind of standing off to the side. So I'm thinking, okay, they must have ordered, and they're waiting. And so I just walked in, and there's a gap in the line. I just stood in it. So I'm standing there for about 5 minutes before I realized the people behind me is in line. And I'm like,
no.
Y'all was in line? And they were like, yeah. I was like, well, y'all could have said something. I didn't buzz y'all and everything. Y'all could have just told me. I would have walked off. I'm not that dude.
Yeah, I'd have been like, y'all bet not say
nothing. I wouldn't put a nine out on you or nothing like that. You just could have just been like, hey, man, we was in line. I'm like, oh, my bad. And I would have left.
First time
Popeyes. If you
Popeyes,
you got to speak up.
Yeah.
Close mouth.
Could not be
fake.
Polite.
Yeah, like, this is Popeyes. You can say, hey, bro, you stepped in front of me. I'm like, oh, my bad, bro. You got it. And I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to get to the end of the
line. We all here for chicken. It's all love. What
exactly?
So was it worth the hype? I mean, better than Chick-fil-A?
So I ain't even a Chick-fil-A guy like that because of my politics.
Okay.
I've had Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and Chick-fil-A sandwiches are solid. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A sandwiches naked with no chick sauce is not worth it. The chick sauce that comes with it sets the whole sandwich off with Chick-fil-A. The Popeye sandwich is really, really good, though. It is really, really good. I don't know if it's better. I'm not that much of a chicken sandwich connoisseur where I can tell you it's better or anything like that. It's really good,
okay.
And when you have one, you will enjoy it. I'll leave it at that.
Like, all right.
I don't know if it's the life-changing experience that everybody made it out to be, but I liked it. It was good. I felt like I got my $3.99 worth.
All right. Fair enough. At some point, I'm going to do it. I was like, I refuse to wait on a line. My boy lives in Atlanta, waited online for 45 minutes to get this sandwich.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's not happening for me. So I'll get in there. They're out now. But the one time I passed by one down here in Austin, they were signed up, no chicken. Don't even come inside talking about no chicken sandwich. And so I was like, all right, I'll come back. I'll come back next week.
So funny story, man. I went to Culver's the other day. I don't know if y'all have Culver's there. Culver's is a burger place here in Wisconsin in the Midwest.
I'm familiar with Culver's from my days in the Shy. But, yes, continue.
Yeah. So I rolled up on the Culver's, man. And why they advertising the chicken sandwich? Man, don't nobody want y'all chicken sandwich, man.
Wow. trying to ride the wave.
The big box.
Like,
you know,
literally,
on the
like.
They had a big box. The big box with, like, the sandwich of the week in it. They going to put chicken sandwich. Oh, take a little chicken. Y'all been had that. We don't want that. If we wanted it, we would have got it months ago. I'm like, what's that chicken sandwich?
Like, if you have to advertise it, it's too late. Like, if Cafe coming to seek out your chicken sandwich, forget about it. They just trying to ride the wave.
And that's
bro.
The brilliance of the whole Popeye situation.
Yeah.
That is the brilliance of the whole Popeye situation. They didn't even advertise. That's what makes it so genius. It became a national phenomenon without a single commercial.
Power fried chicken, bro. Could have told you.
Yo, man, hey.
We got to come up with something.
We can't
keep
eating chicken fast
something.
Enough.
They literally are like, we need to import some chickens from China so we can get these chicken sandwiches back. All right, so yeah, that was my little brother. I think, and we got some. So I think we mentioned off the other the comment. A couple of people have hit me saying the comment is legit. I did a quick run through, like listen to 20-25 seconds of every track, like just so I'm like, all right, maybe, you know, if this is an opus, I want to. It didn't, nothing rang out to me, but I did not listen to one entire song. So that's on deck. I have not listened to Rick Ross. What else came out recently? Something else came out within the last couple of days. Or maybe there's rumors of, Kanye said he's coming out with something, but it hasn't come out yet. And I think Push is flirting with coming out with something as well.
Yeah, yep.
So there's more coming.
Yeah, he dropped a couple of Lucy's. For me, as far as like honorable mention, Jadenna. Jadenna's 85 to Africa album is one that I really, really like. Like, I feel like every now and again you find an artist that kind of finds their groove and they kind of like find their like cultural, their like own little niche within hip hop. And he's kind of really embracing like the African vibe, the cultural vibe that he has, the connection that he has being Nigerian. He's really embracing that, and it's coming out musically and lyrically in what he's doing. And he's a really good songwriter. And I think that's where he really excels. I think he could improve lyrically, but as far as like creating a song and a vibe and adding a hook, a melodic hook to it, he's really good. He's really good at that. And so this album is one that is diverse. It's got a lot of different, you know, he draws from Afrobeat. He's got just some like some trappy sounds to it, and it's a good blend. So I like it a lot. It's probably, it's the fifth one outside of Gibbs, Crit, Rhapsody, Little Brother, and then Jadenna that I've been rocking to. And they've been getting me through this the dog days of summer where there's no more basketball on TV and I'm not watching baseball and I don't do preseason football. So it's been getting me through, man. But I've been enjoying those. YBN Cordae, his album. One of the young cats. It's solid. It's solid. He's got some growing to do overall, lyrically, and everything, but it's a solid album. Chance. Let's talk about Chance.
All right. Let's
what were
it.
Your thoughts on Chance, this album?
let's see. It's a happy album. It's so happy. It's just one of the happiest rap albums I think I've ever listened to. And I want to give him credit for like saying like I want to make an album that's about love and celebration and you know all that stuff. So So I listen to it while I work. It's a song. It's definitely an album I can listen to. I have it in the background while I'm doing stuff, and it's never offensive. There's a couple of songs that I'm like, oh, this is catchy, but it's really pop sounding, I don't know. It sounded like he was really trying to make a popular album. And after about five or six tracks, I was like, okay, so every song is going to sound like this. And so that I was surprised with. He can still rap. So that's why, it'll be in the middle of like the 11. It was also way too long. I'll be in the middle song and I'm like, okay. And then he'll do a hot 16 in the middle of a song that I was kind of like, this is a little boring. And then I'm like, oh, there he is. And then he's gone. Right. And so, I know he was getting clowned online for this album, and I can see why. But at the end of the day, I'm like, this is fine. I don't love the album. I really like We Go High. We Go High to me is, I was like, this is a good song. Everything else, you know, it's fine. I don't love it. Don't hate it. It's fine for Chance.
Yeah, I'm done.
It's over.
Chance. I love everything that Chance represents. I love everything that Chance stands for. I just don't need to hear another song for a little bit.
Oh no.
He's at that point with me where I got through like two songs and I was like, oh, not this again. Because some of the Lucy's that he's dropped, I've been like, what is this, man? Like, what are you doing? Because it's just like too poppy. Too happy, not even happy, just like too bubblegummy. And I'm just like, bruh, like, I feel you. You're in a great spot life-wise, but ain't nothing that good, man.
I like my artist with a little bit of angst, a little, just battling something. I don't need you really, like, everything about my life is amazing. And, all right, thanks, y'all. And I'm like, oh boy, that's why like it's a pop album. it's gonna do fine. I'd play this.
It is
at like
it
a 10-year-old birthday party.
Yes.
Someone was like, "Oh, we want someone with some nice melody, or some rap, but it's not gonna offend anybody here." And I'm like, "Oh,
right.
The big day. This is perfect."
Yes, and so that's where I'm okay. And again, it's kind of like I'm okay that, you know, one of my guys, he kind of put it best. He said, "I am very happy that Chance the Rapper exists. I just don't want to hear his music." Like, no, he needs to be here. He needs to exist. We need to have this. It's just not for me. And that's kind of where I'm at. And because we were both just like, dude, what is this? This is not it.
So
but
who
he
is
was
it
like,
for,
you know what?
Then?
Like,
who is it for?
Not me. I guess, as you said, it's kind of like, you know, when I think back to like when I first like got into hip hop, like stuff that like I could play loud and my mom wouldn't get mad, right? Kid and Play, you know, some Hammer,
DJ Jazzy,
you know what
Jeff.
I'm saying?
Fresh Prince,
yes, Fresh Prince, Jazzy Jeff, like those are the things that I could play and mom isn't gonna get mad. And so, like, I think this is like that hip hop starter kit kind of of an album. You know what I mean? Like, those are tapes that I bought at Kmart with, like, allowance money. You know what I mean? I walk to Kmart and be like, okay, what they got here? All right, let me get this. I just, like, I want to check something out. I got a couple of bucks. I'm 11. You know what I mean? Let me get this. You know what I mean? Like, and so that, I think, is what Chance album is. It is just, like, hip-hop starter, the starter kit, like, here's some rapping for you.
that won't
get you in trouble with your parents. I don't know. It's not for me.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Randy Newman on the joint, man. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Chance is at the point now where no one is going to say no to him. And so, you know, so I appreciate him. Like, oh, Death Cab for Cutie, I want to get on a track with them. Oh, Randy Newman, he's a legend. I want to get on there. So I was just like, all right, well, like, almost do it the way Kanye does it, where he's like, I'm going to bring in people who you don't expect. I'm going to bring in a symphony orchestra. But it's going to – but then I'm going to slow it down, put a mean bass on it, and we're going to, like, rap, like, really rap. And this seemed to maybe have that idea at the beginning, and then maybe he didn't have the guidance. I don't know. So, yeah, it's fine. There was a parody going around about, like, here's the Chance album in, like, 10 seconds, and it was just a dude like, ooh, I love my wife. Ow. And that was it, just playing that over and over again. And I was like, that's wrong. Come on. But still, I get how you might say that. But it was brutal. So, yeah, Chance, he's going to tour the world, make millions of dollars, but I probably won't listen to too much of this album.
It's going to work out really well. And, you know, he has a great heart and his philanthropy is on point. And so, like, I hope he does amazing with this project. And I hope he continues to make more music. I just will not be listening to it unless it changes.
So something is good. I need to hit you on a group text like, no, for real. The new Chance. Listen.
Yeah.
Because you're not going
to
check for it anymore.
Be like, no. No, I will not even – I will not. It's going to have to have, like, crazy buzz and just, like, crazy, like, hey, like, this is his B. You know what I mean? Where Calm came back after Electric Circus and was like, I'm wiping the floor with you suckers.
Yeah. Madlib is producing it. You're like, oh, okay, hold on.
Yeah, or Alchemist or somebody.
Yep. The Alchemist. That would be amazing. All right, we're going to talk about Hov?
Yeah, let's talk about Hov. So I'll let you kick it off. Jay-Z gets with the NFL kind of developing the music while also helping push forward the socially conscious social movement agenda that the NFL is trying to flesh out and develop. And Jay-Z partners. Everybody gets mad. Feels like he betrayed Cap. What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
I was waiting to hear you describe what exactly the NFL was trying to do, the social justice platform.
Yeah,
I listened to that and I was like,
I got nothing.
Someone, explain to me what the NFL
what
creating a social justice platform really means, because I can't fan it down. So Jay-Z, huge fan, not a stan, but a fan. This is just a bad look, and I'm still, let's say, on the fence about it. I don't think I'm either extreme. I tend to be more of the pragmatic. I can see both sides of this. I can see what he's doing. I can see how maybe XYZ is happening. It just requires a huge amount of trust, faith, and goodwill to believe that this is what he claims it to be, right? I mean, it just takes a little too much. He could have, and he had the opportunity, and I listened to that whole press conference with him and Goodell, and that was awful. That was like, why are you doing
terrible.
This? How long? Every time he said something, it was like, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. What is, and so I was like, the only thing that's going to be is some money grab, right? And so where I've landed is, I think two things can be true at the same time. One, Jay-Z is one of the few artists that actually does put his money where his mouth is. He does support folks. He's philanthropic. He has shown himself to do these things that he cares about on the social justice platform, however you want to be. And at the same time, he is an opportunistic businessman. And so those two things can both be true at the same time, and I think both of those things are true at the same time. I think this is an opportunity he couldn't turn down, and he was like, well, if you're going to throw the stack of money on it, I got to do X, Y, and Z because, I got to be true to who I am or be good to the cause or try to make some difference. But people just will never believe that that came first. They'll just always believe the money came first and then the social justice piece came after. And until he can demonstrate or show this definitively, I think it's always going to be a black eye for him. So I'll wait and see, and, maybe, who knows, he'll become a owner and give Cap a job and all that craziness that people are talking about, which I was like, really? You really think he's going to be a majority owner?
That's next
really?
Level chess. If that happens, that's next level chess.
Maybe that's the only thing that would make people literally do the Weebay from The Wire look like, oh, Jay is really out here killing it, right? Like that is probably the only thing that's going to get that. Otherwise, people are like, no, you just, Roc Nation's a company. This is going to be a line in a song you make in a year and a half about how much you clear just off that. So, not a great look. I think it's two sides of businessman plus, whatever he's trying to be right now with the dreads and everything. I'm still a little ambivalent around it, but that's where I am right now.
Yeah, I dig that. And I think your line of thinking aligns with mine for the most part. I haven't watched the NFL since they said they didn't want my money. So I'm not giving it to him. I don't play fantasy no more. And I was a diehard football guy. And once they said that, we'd rather listen to these old white folks rather than, and recognize we have a diverse fan base. I said, okay, their money is more important to you. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so mine
mm-hmm.
isn't. And so I will not give you my money. And so that's the choice. That's the decision I've made. The thing that I got upset with this whole conversation is not even about Jay-Z doing what Jay-Z has done, but the narrative around this, that this is somehow – like the NFL trying to appease whatever black audience they think they lost, right? If you ain't watching football because of if you are still not watching football, right? I know people that stopped watching football because Kaepernick didn't have a job, and now those folks are back to watching football, and I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
The people that still ain't watching football, they not finna be moved by this. So you're not getting those people with Jay-Z, right? So if this was the NFL trying to get that those people back, that's not – that one, it ain't going to work like that, dog. This ain't that crowd. The people that are still out on the NFL, this ain't that crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get those folks back by going to get Jay-Z. Like, oh, that's what we was waiting on.
Like, we was waiting on you to go get hold, and we was going to be like, oh, we good now. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't the move.
That's insulting.
Then the media, again, yeah, it's not even insulting. It's just like, yeah, bro, that was, if the way people portrayed it is that was going to work. Like, nah, yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work at all. But then the way it again, the narrative around it, Pitt, Caps, Kaepernick, and his cause, and Eric Reed, and their cause against Jay-Z, I think is just, I mean, that's like, you know, that's very, like, base-level thinking. Like, all those things can happen at once, right? And it doesn't have to be Jay-Z's involvement is some sort of a diss to Kaepernick. You have to have people infiltrating at all levels if you're really going to enact change, right? You have to have people at the ground level. You have to have people at the mid-management level. You have to have people at the upper tier levels of decision-making to ultimately impact a system. And so it's fine that he's done that. As it came out as what it actually is, it's kind of like, that's what you're doing? Okay. I mean, like, y'all going to sell some T-shirts?
Yeah.
So you go basically play in the Super Bowl halftime show and sell some T-shirts. That's what we do at home.
I mean,
but again,
I had to send this on a couple of group chats we've discussed this. As you could imagine, it's been like a 2 year argument back and forth. And I saw the piece about in Chicago we're gonna have Meek Mill and Rhapsody is one of the artists that are gonna be performing. And it's a free concert, but the proceeds are going to go to a certain charity.
Right.
And I was like, I think they just really think we're not paying attention. It's a free concert. What proceeds? Well, okay, well, the NFL is going to pay, or advertisers are going to pay. I was like, okay, well, then you could just cut a check. I don't need a Meek Mill. I don't need a Meek Mill performance as the impetus to give money. Just give money. And so I was like, this is
right.
It is. I guess I'm going to say I'm insulted. I'm insulted that they
the NFL thinking, we'll get the blacks back. As Trump would say, we'll get the blacks back.
Look at Meek Mill. You guys love him. He's going to perform for free, but the proceeds from the performance are going to go to a charity. I was like, I understand how money works. What are you talking about, a free concert with proceeds? I that made me so angry. I was like, what are y'all even talking about? So,
that's also why I just can't rock with the NFL as a league and an organization. It's all the doublespeak and the bait and switch that they do. I'm just like, yo, man, can y'all just, like, be transparent about what it is you're trying to do? Whether it's player discipline.
They'll never be.
Whatever it is, just, like, be upfront about it, man. But that's not how they move. And I'm okay with that. They can move like that. I'm just going to move over here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And outside of playing football, the product on the field hasn't been very good the last couple of seasons. You know, great players are always getting in. Just, you know, you can't count on the stars being available and other things like that. That has just kind of been like, I don't want to watch the third string running back play. I want to, like, you know, there's a big part of sports is watching careers develop. And when you have what was potentially the best quarterback prospect ever quitting at 29 because his body's not responding anymore.
That's wild.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's like, that's hard on just being able to follow the game. You know what I mean? Like you got Tom Brady who's playing for 20 years, which is great, but you know, he was blessed to come into the right kind of organization. And I think the game is trending more towards just short careers and recycling people through. And that's just hard to follow and hard to really invest in. And then it becomes about investing in the uniforms and the teams and, you know, 15 years of that. And then it's baseball.
Yep.
Which is what baseball, you know what I mean? Then it's a regional thing where, but fantasy football is a different thing, but so was fantasy baseball at one time or another. It was a thing that kind of kept people engaged in the sport.
So what's the new fantasy? You on hockey now, lacrosse?
I do fantasy basketball and that's it. Fantasy hoops. But that's even hard. It is hard because it's such a long season and so many damn games.
Yeah, that was like the lineup. That's why I was out of baseball.
Like
they were like every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every
yeah.
day I got to see.
Fantasy football.
Who's the
it's
pitcher?
Just like okay, Sunday I got to be. Yeah, I got to be locked in by Thursday. You know what I mean? And that's also the other thing with the NFL, just the oversaturation. Like, let's get back to Sunday and Monday. Now I sound old and like purist.
You do.
But I'm not.
You are
I,
definitely
I just
get
don't care
off
that
my
much.
Lawn. Okay. All right.
I just don't care that much. But I like
kids
it when it was
get
like
off.
That. You know what I mean? Right. But enough yeah,
said.
I'm with you. Like, are we really gonna, you know, Meek Mills and Rhapsody and throw some rappers out there and we're good now? that's what it feels like the NFL is saying. Look, man, we got rappers now. Like, we got rappers and we're giving away to charity. Are we good now?
You forgive me? Will you come back? I promise I'm a changed man. I'm a changed man. I promise.
Right. I got a gold tooth and everything.
Let's wait and see. Jay-Z might still surprise us, man. Come on.
Well, that's the other piece about it, right? So money in Jay-Z's pocket is pretty good, though. That's the piece that I try to remind people of, is that, like, this isn't a person who has, you know, not come into the room and repped when he's had opportunities. You know what I mean? Like, he stood on his principles when he has had opportunities. What I think people tend to forget is one of his principles is, I can't be one of y'all. I can't help y'all and be one of y'all.
Yeah.
Like,
he does not lie to
so
us.
That I can
yeah.
Back.
He has been genuine.
He said as much, right? Right?
None of this should surprise you.
He said as much. He mm-hmm. said as much, you know. I can't help the poor if I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Deep. So that is also one of the principles that he stands on. And so people got to recognize that and understand that this is a dude that is a business.
Yeah.
And he is about business, and capitalism is cutthroat. And that's what he is engaged in to the fullest. And so, sure, there will be some kickback, because there always has been kickback. And I think that's the one thing we can count on, is that money in his pocket is going to come back into communities and towards causes that matter. And that's the solace that you can take. And, you know, I feel like as long as he feels like he got compensated well enough by the NFL for them to leverage his brand, they leveraging him. I don't care. It's not my name.
Yeah.
As long as he's comfortable with it, you know what I mean? Hey, more power to him. You know what I mean? Because they were definitely – that press conference was not a good look for me. Like, can Goodell answer some questions? Instead of sitting there nodding as you dodge all these bullets?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was definitely one of those situations where Goodell was sitting there like, yeah, my black friend is telling you everything. I think exactly what he thinks. It's my black friend.
I agree with him wholeheartedly. Let's get out of here.
Me and Ho, we're eye to eye, man. We're sitting right next to each other. We're on the same page. You know? I guarantee if they would have given Goodell that mic, Goodell would have turned his – what he said.
Yeah.
That would have been a Goodell – hey, what he said.
Yep.
All of it.
Like, I'm not messing this up. Yeah, y'all ain't gonna get me telling on myself out here. I'm just what Mr. Carter said is we're about 100%. All right.
Yeah. It's the rock and the shield, baby.
Oh man. The rock and the shield. Really? Oh man. All right, I can't talk about this anymore. Now I'm getting sad.
Oh man, we're coming up on closing out this one, man. Anything that you're looking for coming out, you know, you mentioned Pusha. We're both Pusha.
Yeah.
I'm a Pusha stan. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm waiting with bated breath on that. Anything else you're excited about that will potentially be dropping in the near future?
I'm somewhat interested in this Kanye a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe I keep talking myself into it. Obviously I still can't quit him. Other than that, music-wise, I haven't really heard many other things. Is there a secret album that's going to drop that we don't know about? But see, this is the thing. Like, if you would have told me a little brother's going to drop an album, I would have been like, no, they're not even in the studio together. And then it happens. So there's going to be a surprise. I'm looking forward to a surprise. Maybe Jay Electronica will finally come out.
Jay Electronica.
Still holding
that
candle,
me,
bro. I'm still holding that candle
that
up. I'm keeping that light on forever.
Right? Because it should be glorious.
After this long of a wait, it should be glorious. And we're waiting on album one.
Oh, God. All right. The EP don't count? We're not counting the extended mixtape EP? No?
It's an EP. Oh, man. Yeah, it's not a long play. Not a long play. But Kendrick is due. So I expect
point.
A secret something to drop from him. He's about due to release something. I hear Quali and Mos Def are working with Madlib on the Black Star album.
This is true.
So we'll see if anything comes from that.
Huge skepticism. I mean, I could not talk myself into even beginning to contemplate a second Black Star album. Having heard Yasiin Bey rap uninspiredly for the last however many years. So yeah, that's not on my radar. You are going to have to tell me if that album's good. That's how out of it I'm on.
I don't know if I will. Between right. Mos Def, Yasiin Bey, I'm calling him Mama name of Mos, I'm calling him Mos. Dante. Black Dante. Between where he's just at artistically and then like Quali's Twitter persona, I'm just kind of like real shaky on both those two characters. I just get mad at Quali for like arguing with just like, dude, why are you going back and forth on Twitter like angrily, like with just random human beings? Like, you don't have to explain. You just don't have to
maybe,
explain
huh?
to people sometimes.
Maybe Madlib can be that dude. That's all.
Maybe.
I'm holding out a little bit of hope, but not much.
Because if Quali can't handle some random dude in Nebraska throwing him off, Mos is going to be all over the place. I just can't see
record
it
a song I just can't and then be on Twitter for an hour and a half. Like, what? It's like, we got to get back in the booth.
Right.
No, hold on. Someone on the internet thinks I'm wrong about something.
I got these. I'm coming at these racists right now. I got these colonizers on the ropes. I got them on the ropes, man. I'm about to shut them down with this next tweet. You can't shut these people down. You cannot. You can have the most profound tweet in the world. They're going to keep coming. It's Twitter. Oh, man. Well, this has been real, man. I appreciate the time. And we'll check back in. Hopefully within a month or two, a couple other things will drop that'll get us inspired, and we'll hop in and we'll give you another 60 minutes of funk to rock out to.
There we go.
All right, man. I appreciate you. Take it easy. Those of you out there listening, we're out.
Hold on, one last thing.
You got time?
I'm going to be in Madison in October. So let's get on the calendar and figure out the first Hustle & Flows
in person.
Make it happen.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
That's October. All right.
I bet. I'm clearing it. You let me know the days. I will make time and we will link.
All right, bro.
All right, brother.